current? You good?
Yeah, I'm okay. Here.
Okay, so guess we have a quorum. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead and do roll call.
Yes. Alatorre. Caldillo.
Present.
Hooker.
Here.
Juarez.
Here.
Angel.
Here.
Rosales. Strong.
Here.
And Zaker.
Public comment. I think we're hearing from the public. So update from the city manager's office.
Oh, thank you. Good evening. I think I've met most of you, but my name is Maria Cacciadori, and I'm the assistant city manager with the city of Chula Vista. I just celebrate 20 years with the city, which just
Congratulations.
I keep feeling like I'm new because there's so much going on.
You and I started the same year. What month did you start?
January of 98.
Okay, so I didn't come till August.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
But a lot of good things happening in the city. I'm going to focus on talking about things that are going to probably impact the measures that you guys oversee. So I want to start out with Measure P. This is an absent sales tax that was approved by the voters in November 2016. The Citizen Oversight Committee just went forward to the City Council with their first report out. And their role really is to make sure that we're continuing to comply with the expenditure plan that Council approved as part of taking this measure forward to the taxpayers. Basically saying, if you approve this half-cent sales tax for 10 years, these are the things that we're going to spend the money on. And so the Oversight Committee was formed to make sure that they oversee the expenditures and make sure that we're in compliance with the commitment that we made. So they presented that, you know, as part of their review, and we also have independent auditors that review the documents, that we have been in compliance. And this is the first report, so it covers April 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2017. The next report should be coming in the spring. The first year took us a little bit longer as we were trying to figure out, working with them in terms of what the report needs to include and going through the first year. But I don't know how much... Actually, when we did the tour, the GMOC tour, we had some Measure P committee members on that tour.
Yeah.
And we went through and looked at various projects. So a lot of projects are moving forward. You probably have seen some of this through the news. A lot of the streets are being repaved. We have, we've replaced several fire vehicles because when we were talking about going forward with the sales tax, we were starting to see a lot of challenges with our vehicles starting to break down. And the last thing you want is a fire vehicle breaking down when you're trying to respond to a call.
Right.
So we've been working with the fire department that's been moving forward, replacing fire vehicles, replacing police vehicles, replacing some of the public works vehicles with electric vehicles, replacing some of the public works vehicles with electric vehicles. So not only are we replacing them, but we're also trying to find efficiencies going forward. So the electric vehicles require less maintenance. You know, we have solar panels that are being put up in various sites of the city, so that's going to save the general fund money, and overall it just makes a lot of sense. Plus we were able to get some credits from the state to help offset the cost. So overall, it's been a great program. We are working on fire station 5 and 9. I don't know if you've been out to these fire stations, but they're pretty bad. They're very old facilities, but as part of the review, beyond just tearing them down and rebuilding them, the fire department looked and determined, looking for opportunities to relocate them to improve response times. So we are moving Fire Station 5 from its current location over to the South Chula Vista Library, right proximate there. So they're looking at that because that's a very busy part of the city. And also Fire Station 9, which is really in a residential area. I don't know if you've been there, but we're moving that over to, I think it's Naples.
Is that little peninsula?
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw a building there, or they're building something.
Yeah, there's an individual who owns that property who refuses to sell the land, and we are in eminent domain proceedings on that. So even though he was notified.
Did he put that building on there?
He kept the building.
Yeah, it's got a building, yeah. I noticed it, too.
Yeah, I went to see it yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like, so we think that's moving forward, so we anticipate we'll be moving forward with building the fire station there. Again, that would improve response times. So again, the nice thing about Measure P is not only helping us replace equipment and buildings, it's also helping us with response times that we talk about here. So that's moving forward. We're also working on, you know, improving the senior center, and we're just at Loma Verde Rec Center, which I had actually never been to until recently, and it's pretty bad. I don't know if you've ever been inside that rec center. I was pretty shocked. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. So we set aside monies to repair, you know, and replace some of the, you know, aspects of the rec center and the pool, which we clearly need to fix. It's a huge pool. If you ever had a chance to go out there, I would go look at it. But the question is, now we're asking, does it make sense to put taxpayers' money into a facility that really isn't functioning? And, you know, we're starting to think about maybe, you know, maybe tearing it down and rebuilding it. Except for the pool, again, that one we can refinish and put some improvements there. But, you know, we look at these replacements from a long-term standpoint. Yes, we can throw some money at it and make it look prettier, but does it make sense, you know, from the long-term use, you know, use and replacement value? But it's in pretty bad shape. So those are the kind of things we'll be talking to the COC about, you know, as we move forward. Some of the projects that we've been working on is irrigation replacement in the park. So we're working a lot with the Youth Sports Council. So we have a lot of volunteers helping us with this. So we're stretching these dollars as far as we can, which is good. We're also seeking grant funds. We did receive some grant monies for Lauterbach. Mm-hmm. And we see grant funds for Parkway. So we were able to stretch the Measure P dollars even further because we were able to use some of the grant funds to spend on some of the repairs that we would have had to use Measure P monies for. We're resurfacing courts. We put in quite a bit of equipment over in PD. We redid their Watch Commander's Center. So that if you watch the news, you'll hear about the city's drone program that we're involved in a pilot project. So luckily we had upgraded our screens and our technology in the Watch Commander's Center, and we were able to watch the drone from these new sets. So the things that we're doing with Measure P, it's actually helping us look for ways to improve response times.
That's nice.
You know, so all of this is really connected to the things that you guys are doing here. So that's very exciting. And then we did things like the Civic Center Library restroom, which had been an issue with the public and the council for a long time. We still have a lot of work to do with this library, though. So I think those are the highlights. You'll see solar panels going up in various facilities in the city. That translates to energy savings, helps us with our climate action planning, but also helps us with general fund budgets because now we'll be able to save money on electricity. So all good stuff. Let's see. And then there's things that you can't really see. Some of the corrugated metal pipes underground that create sinkholes. We spent quite a bit of money over the last couple of years dealing with the CMP that's within the roadway. Now we're doing the ones that are off the roadway, which, you know, we want to make sure we don't have any accidents or sinkholes in people's backyard or things like that, things that we don't want to see on the news. So we're working on that as well. So, you know, this coming year, right now there's just a lot of work behind the scenes and setting up RFPs and entering into contracts and taking things to council for, you know, appropriations and working with the COC to make sure that what we're doing is in compliance. So I think this next year you're going to see a lot of ribbon cutting events, and that's the goal.
What happens to the existing fire stations if they move?
So the existing land will probably be sold, and so that money will go back to reimburse for the purchase of the other sites if there was expenses incurred.
Okay, so the city doesn't keep it. Use it for something else.
Yeah, we'll get, it's basically a reimbursement. Yeah. Or the city could determine to do something else with the land. I know the council really hasn't decided yet. We haven't really brought that forward to them. What we did was we asked for funding to purchase the site where we're moving Fire Station 9 to. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, if we sell these other sites, it would be nice to get that money reimbursed. So there's no net cost. Or they can start to do something else. And we're not really sure what they were going to do.
So when they create a budget for the new land or the purchase of a new land, do they take into consideration the current land they use, that they're going to sell it? And
No. What we did is we went forward and said we need to set aside funds so we can purchase this land. But there's an opportunity in the future if we want to sell this other land to offset the cost, and we'll come back with that. So, because there wasn't really a decision made yet on what to do with the land, we didn't bring it forward as an action.
Just curious.
Something to consider, yeah. And you know, people have different opinions on what should happen there, but we haven't really, you know, what was that?
Is it housing? I don't know.
That could be one of the options, you know. So I'm sure all those discussions will take place at the time. But right now, we're just trying to get moving on the fire station so we can, you know, get the firefighters out of these buildings that are really not in good condition and improve our response times.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that that volunteers are being used. In what capacity?
Yeah,
what are
the
volunteers doing?
The Youth Sports Council, this is a group that is responsible for allocating the sports fields in the city. It's a separate group that was formed by the council, I think, back in the 80s. I mean, it's been a long time. And they were very active in getting out there with Measure B because they wanted to see their fields improved. So they also want to stretch the dollars as far as they can. So they actually have parents go out there and help with replacing the valves on the sprinkler heads.
That's so it's manual labor.
What was that?
It's manual labor.
Manual labor. I was out there. It was manual labor. It was getting to your knees. It was a hot day, too. Like, you guys pick a hotter day. And that's really nice. For one, it creates an opportunity to work with the community. And for another, it's saving us money. So Measure P dollars, again, can be stretched as far as we can stretch it. Because we have a lot of parks in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really helpful. We're moving towards smart irrigation systems so we can make sure that when it rains, we're not, the sprinkler system's going to be turned off from a distance, or it monitors the moisture. So we're trying to use technology to try to improve our, you know, keep our assets, you know, in the right, you know, in the right condition.
Nice.
So there's a lot of things happening.
So a couple questions. Mm-hmm. The solar panels, how much of a reduction is that, you know, what's the percentage, roughly? And then the when are those fire stations supposed to open?
Yeah, so the solar panel, I don't have the numbers. I mean, it's in the report, I can provide that to you, but it is going to be significant to the general fund.
Okay.
So we're putting them up in the police station. We just see the ones that are out in the parking lots. We're putting some in the back parking lot. I think there's like 12 sites that we're putting them up in. So you're going to see, we're going to see quite a bit of savings in the general fund. I can get that information. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Yeah, just a rough number.
Yeah,
just curious to see how much that actually
saves. Yeah, and it definitely. And we're also replacing our lights here with LED. So that there's a project citywide in these complexes to move towards LED lights. So that's the other part that's being funded through Measure P.
Okay.
So you have another question.
The new fire stations, when are they?
So new fire stations, we anticipate if everything moves forward. Well, we've been holding off on doing 5 because we're trying to resolve the issue with 9 in terms of the land, because it would be better to move out, go forward with 2 fire stations in the RFP, because we think we'll get a better deal going out with the 2 versus just going out individually in terms of contracts.
Right.
So we anticipate the RFP should be out sometime in November. So it takes
November,
it takes
like a couple months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll see that, you know, we'll get some bids. They have to be reviewed, and then we have to go back to council and award the contract. And it'll take a good year, at least I think, to get those up and running.
So probably 21 time frame for an opening.
Let's see. So Millennia, which is not Measure P, but it's a new station that's being opened in out in the east. That's going to go. It just got approved last night. Or no, Tuesday night. So that's going to be groundbreaking in February of 19th. So February 20th. So about a year. Yeah. So yeah, about 20.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of them come up around the same time.
About the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a question regarding. So is it Fire Station 9 that's on that little, I guess, what do you call it, peninsula?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So.
Yeah.
My question, well, I got a couple questions regarding that. So one is that in some kind of litigation then with eminent domain?
We're in eminent domain on that, yes.
So, so it's in litigation then? I mean, it's in some kind of a legal
proceedings. Yes.
Okay, so the owner of that property is disputing it or fighting it?
Yes.
Challenging it?
Yes.
He is, okay.
Yes, but I think from the updates I've received that we should have ownership soon.
Right, okay.
But we still will be in some kind of litigation with them in terms of settling on the price.
All right. Because, I mean, I remember, you know, hearing that that's where it was proposed to be built. And then when I drove by, like, 2 months ago, I see the structure. I'm all, well, maybe they decided not to build there because you can tell it's not a fire station. It looks like a little house.
House, yeah.
But even saying that, that looks like a very small little area, though. It's almost like a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's shaped like a triangle.
Right, but that street that's behind it is going to be closed off. So it's going to go all the
way. Oh, they're going to close down one of the roads.
Traffic.
Oh, okay.
So I can have the fire chief kind of go over that with you when he sees, you know, in terms of the design for Fire Station 9.
Okay, that makes more sense.
It's not going to be that little triangle. It's going
to
expand. Have you worked with the fire department? No way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how sick I'm all. That's going to be a single engine fire department.
It's going to be a two-story fire station.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So it's
going to be, they're going to take out one of those roads and it's going to be much bigger.
I think we stopped by the tour. I think they mentioned that the design's going to be a full through, so they can help make sure they get.
Oh, see, I don't remember. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes
sense.
That way
they didn't have to back up.
Yeah,
right.
Not just they would drive through.
Right.
So do you think that they built the building just to get more money out of the city? To say, you know, I have a residence there. It's not just the land.
It's supposed to be based on fair market value, so.
Of the land.
Yeah, but now it has a building.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So the value goes up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe not.
Maybe
is it a permitted
building?
Not
if you were notified.
Right.
Prior to
building
that.
But
really, it's like, where
are
we
issuing?
I have no further comments on
right.
it.
So I got one more question.
Sure.
So when back to Measure P, how much money have we received to date? Do you know?
To
or
date?
Reporting.
Now in 2000, for the time period that we reported out, which is April 2017 through June 2017, we received about $3.9 million. So that was just a very short time frame.
Okay.
So we're actually receiving, the projections are actually better than we anticipated.
Mm.
So over the 10-year time frame, we'll probably, based on the estimates, get about $9 million more than we had projected.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Over that 10-year time frame. So I don't know year-to-date, I didn't have my year-to-date numbers, but that information
is
on the website.
Is
all the
it?
Financial
okay.
reports,
oh,
everything
okay.
that we present. We have a Measure P website that presents it quarterly and annually. So, but I can get you that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that could only go up, right, with all the other...
We've seen it go down.
Right.
I've seen numbers go down that you never thought would go down. But the last recession was harsh.
How many rounds is the funding? Because, I mean, so they're selling the bonds, right?
We sold the bonds.
Right. So we sold all the
bonds.
I mean...
We issued 70 million bonds at 1.8% interest. So we hit the market at the right time.
What's interest?
1.8%.
Okay.
So it was a great deal.
All right.
So we have sufficient cash, which is why we're moving a lot of these projects forward quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 10-year bond deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great deal. You know, because the rates were going up. And it gives us the opportunity to address some of the assets that, if they fail or break, are going to be more expensive to repair.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long run, we're saving a lot of money that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And providing results to the public who, you know, want to see their tax dollars result in something.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good. So that was Measure P. Measure A, which is something that the city went back out to the voters for a permanent house and sales tax. And again, this impacts the response times. So this last June, the taxpayers approved a permanent house and sales tax. Measure P is temporary, it's 10 years. The Measure A is a permanent absent sales tax to fund public safety. And we went forward to council with police and fire with the expenditure plan that shows the positions that they anticipate hiring. So it included police, fire, but it also included support staff. So as they hire more police officers and firefighters, you know, finance is going to get some reimbursement, human resources will get reimbursement, IT and the attorneys. Because as they hire more people, there's more work on the other end. So we wanted to make sure we incorporated that in there as well. So the council's in the process of selecting the COC members that are going to sit in on the Measure A Oversight Committee. Similar to Measure P, they're going to review to make sure that we're in compliance with the plan as we had committed when we went out with the absent sales tax. So that one is really going to be a direct link to what you're working on in terms of response times for fire and police. Because in that one, we've incorporated the idea of squads out in the east to try to improve the response times in the eastern area of the city. So you'll have a full presentation on this from the fire chief as well. So that's moving forward. So it's going to be a busy year.
When does that tax go into effect?
October 1st. Yeah.
In a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. So those are the major things I wanted to talk to you about. Of course, you know, the Bayfront's moving forward. We're negotiating with Rita and the port still. We have a lot of work to do on the financing of this deal. It's pretty significant. But we're very excited. We anticipate that the Coastal Commission will approve the Coastal Development Permit. We're targeting for November-ish, and the port's really the lead on this. And so if that happens, then a year after that, we'll probably go out into the market to borrow the funds to move forward with the project. So there's just a lot of work that's going to have to take place. A lot of attorneys, a lot of financial advisors, underwriters. There's just a lot of
a lot of fees.
A lot of fees. It's not free, that's for sure. So, but the opportunities are immense.
Oh, of course.
So that's moving forward. A lot happening in terms of the city on the west side. You see what's going on in Third Avenue. We're looking for grant funds from SANDAG to complete the third phase of Third Avenue project. So we have one more phase left, which is about $4.5 million.
Yeah.
So that's from Davidson to E.
To E Street, yeah.
Yeah. So if you've gone down Third Avenue, you see the improvements that were made, the street improvements, the signage. So that we just have one phase left. And we've been looking for funding, but it looks like we might be able to get some grant funds for that and get that one done. So that'll be good. Because you can see the activity that's happening on Third Avenue now. So a lot of things happening there. Of course, the development that's going on in the east, a lot of homes being built. A lot of challenges with that, you know, with people and traffic and all the good things that come with development. Parks opening up, working on the university. We're in negotiations with St. Catharines. Which is a small university up in San Marcos that's looking to move down to Chula Vista, but looking at seeing if we would contribute or lease 10 acres of land on the university side for them. So that's still being negotiated. Mm-hmm. That's not the project. We're still looking for the university in terms of the long-term vision for that site. So a lot of
no takers? Nobody's
not yet.
Really?
Not yet. So I think times will change eventually. I think we have the land, we have, the housing. So I think, city manager, this is his lead project. He is really involved in this one directly. So he meets with a lot of people trying to get them to come out here and take a look at the site and see if there's an opportunity. And there may be. So, but that's a long-term project as well.
Yeah.
So,
I got one question. Did you, so make sure I heard you correctly. So did you say in the Bayfront you guys are going to be going out to borrow money? Is that what you did? How much money?
About $240 million for the project, which includes, because we have infrastructure that we have to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So we have $240 million that will be going towards the convention center primarily, and then we have $60 million or so on infrastructure, and that includes all the roads, the sidewalks, the lights, the signals, the parks, all the infrastructure that goes along with it.
So do you think they're going to issue more bonds? I'm just curious, are they going to be revenue bonds, general obligation bonds? Or?
Not general obligation bonds. So they're going to be almost like lease revenue, lease bond. So it's not going to
be... So based on rentals?
Not based on revenue. Based on the revenues that are going to be generated by this project. So okay.
Whether it's rent or rental fees.
Lease revenues,
TOT,
sales tax, property tax, so whatever revenues were generated from this project would be used to back the debt to build it. So we get a little bit of pushback from that. We're saying, why are you contributing our tax monies to this project? They should know.
Right.
If we don't contribute to this project, the developer won't build because the profit margin isn't there.
Right.
So this is a long-term project. Eventually the bonds will be paid off,
right,
and all those revenues will then come to the city.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is just the one project of the Bayfront. So if this moves forward, we anticipate other projects within the Bayfront will move forward, and there's an opportunity right there for the city to generate revenues.
Have they done any forecasting, to determine any kind of how many years for the payback or anything like that?
Yeah.
What is it looking like?
I'm just trying to calculate
how much just to cover the debt service on $240 million. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot. It's a big deal.
I mean, so that
we work with the economists and people who are experts in the hotel industry to make sure that we're being conservative in terms of what the hotel rates are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, look at what the property tax are going to be, sales tax, and these are all projections. But we're also looking to make sure that once the debt's covered, is there going to be a potential enough revenue to pay for the buyer services that are going to be needed?
Right.
So we're looking at all those things.
Yeah.
And again, we're making assumptions about the market.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
a lot of things that we're presenting are projections.
Yeah.
So we still, that's what we're going to be doing over the next year, is refining these numbers and making sure that it's a feasible project.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, again, we have projections and we're estimating cash flows, mm-hmm. and we're estimating how long it would take for the city to start realizing some revenues back. Mm-hmm. Do we have enough money to cover the fire services that are going to be needed? But then at the end of the day, it's going to be the market that's going to determine if these are sellable. You know, do they have trust that what we're saying or what these studies are saying is worth the risk as an investor? So we still have a lot of work to do on this. But we do get a little criticism from the public, says, well, why are you giving, we should just keep all our money. I'm like, well, we could say we're not going to help or contribute, but then nothing's going to happen to this
right.
site. So that's one of the things the economists do, is they determine, you know, is there a legitimate reason to provide a subsidy? Can
mm-hmm.
this project move forward without our subsidy? And it was determined that it cannot. So there's just a lot of work that happens in order for us to move forward.
A couple of months ago, I thought I had heard in the news that there was an issue with regards to that whole project and that it was actually in jeopardy of not being being able to move forward. And it had something to do, I think, with parking? Can you explain what that was? I didn't understand.
Well, part of the commitment in this deal is the Port Authority is supposed to build a parking structure, and it's about a $40 million parking structure, and they have the ability to establish a fee. They have a fee that they can charge rental companies to help build for parking facilities, which they've done
like Enterprise
in San Diego. Yeah.
Okay.
They've done this in San Diego, which is also part of the port, you know, the area that's near the port. And so they were being are still being litigated by rental car companies. But then we had the Airport Authority that jumped into the fight.
Mm.
Not really sure why. So that got worked out, you know.
So what exactly was the argument?
I'm not really sure.
Okay, because I'm like, I'm so confused.
When I was listening to it, it just didn't make any
yeah.
sense. I'm like, okay, well, you can charge the fee for a port parking structure in San Diego.
Yeah.
But you can't charge a fee for a port structure in Chula Vista, which is
yeah.
all part of the port. So I really wasn't following why.
Why? Okay.
They were making an issue of it. And I haven't been involved in the discussions with legal, so I'm like you. I'm just
yeah.
what I
hear.
I was
just a
little
confused. So it's not resolved yet.
It's resolved with the Airport Authority. They basically said, okay, we agree.
They
no longer joined the lawsuit. They backed off. And I think they're still working through the actual litigation with the car companies. But what I'm hearing, it sounds like it may move forward okay. But that's a really good
just
question
curious.
Because just this will be a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And has been actually. You know, something this major, I don't know if you remember the ballpark in downtown San Diego where
mm-hmm.
ups
mm-hmm.
and downs, litigation, and then you resolve it, and then something else comes out and you resolve it. So this is going to be similar to that, where we're moving forward and council approves something and then we get litigated, or you know, or projections aren't clear, or it's a question. So it's just going to be like an up and down for something that this significant and this massive.
I didn't realize that there was going to be a convention center. For some reason, I was just thinking hotels and a resort.
Oh, no, it's going to be pretty big.
Is it going to be in comparison to the existing convention center?
The downtown San Diego, no.
Yeah. Nothing that big?
Mm-mm.
So we can take over Comic-Con. Man, I want Comic-Con
no,
here.
We can't take it over, but we can help support it.
Is it
yeah.
bigger than the Mission Valley Town Center?
I would say it's similar, comparable to that,
oh,
yeah.
That's
how would we support it?
What if they have to have, like, if they don't have enough room downtown and they want to have some smaller sessions?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
people want to stay in a hotel and it's near the trolley.
Because
yeah. people do stay in Chula Vista to go to the Comic-Con.
Yeah. And they do have off-site activities and functions and stuff.
Really?
I don't know what the word is now. Yeah.
Yeah, they take
I
over
can't see,
most of the
I
guests.
Can't,
yeah.
I can't see where the tourists would want to leave the location, the site,
it
the main site.
It depends what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
If they put something that is worthwhile, they'll go.
It's a lazy river. Lazy river. I know that.
It sounds really good, but we're fighting LA, right?
Yeah.
That's who we're fighting for right now.
This is actually a market for the smaller conventions, like medical conventions, not the massive
mm-hmm.
Thousands of people. It's like the 5,000 type convention,
mm-hmm.
So it's a different market, but we certainly support some of the things they do down there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Oh, think that's all I have for right now. I can certainly come back if you have any other questions, and I know you're going to be hearing a lot from the departments directly. But a lot of good things happening, and thank you for everything that you do. It's been very helpful in terms of moving the city forward and making sure we stay on task with our response times and quality of life.
Thank you.
You're not allowed to ask questions.
Oh, it's an easy one. About the Measure A, there was something about potentially the GMOC becoming
COC.
Can you explain
that? When we were putting together the ordinance, one of the things that I was working with our city attorney on this, Measure P was a 10-year tax, right? So we have the COC, but Measure A is like a forever tax. So it just seemed like, you know, once we were finished with allocating the funds and it just became routine, it seemed, why do we want to continue the COC? Why not allow the council to give it over to the GMOC? Because that's really what you guys do. You track response times. And so we were just trying to reduce the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it was,
yeah.
You know. So we thought the GMOC was a recommendation we thought would make sense. But people took it like we were going to get rid of the oversight, which was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
We were just thinking, why have so many committees once this is done and it's been implemented?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the GMOC can take it from there. But it's really up to the council at the time if they want to do that.
So there's still a chance?
Mm-hmm. We were just trying to be efficient.
Yeah. No, that's really,
there's
no criticism. I just...
Yeah, because
I thought it was
something
already
in the ordinance that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we leave it up to the council after we're done with phase one. It's been implemented. You know, if the council chooses, they can eliminate the COC. They've met their goals. And then transition it over to the GMOC. And then you take it on as part of your annual review.
When would that be, approximately?
I have to go back and look if we put a time frame in the ordinance or not. But it just depends on how quickly they can fill the positions and
mm-hmm.
get it approved by council. It would be several years. It wouldn't happen overnight. So.
Some of us will still be here.
Yeah. So that was really the intent, was, you know, we just felt, you know, that the role that you already serve really fit
mm-hmm.
with the role of Measure A.
Makes
but
sense.
Initially, there's a lot of work that goes on, and
mm-hmm.
the unions are involved, and the chiefs are involved to make sure that they have the positions that they requested. So a lot of it's operational, but eventually it should be routine,
mm-hmm.
right? Because once you've hired those positions, you're basically just, you know, funding them going forward. So we thought of you.
Thank you.
That was it.
Any
right.
other
Good.
Questions for Maria?
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank you.
No,
thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Thanks for finding us over here.
No.
It's kind of a
surprise.
All right. And I'm exhausted, by the way. Yes.
It's a long day, huh?
It's a lot going on here. Plug in.
So we'll go on to electing our chair and vice chair. I'm sitting here, but I'm very open for any interest.
Thank you.
So last time we talked, who was the one missing person that we talked about last time?
Same one missing today.
Same one missing today. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Max?
Might be
intentional.
No, Max was here.
Javier notified me that he does have some other commitments, and he's not prepared to resign yet at this point. He's hoping he can make some modifications so that he'll be able to continue coming, but he's a coach or something.
Mm-hmm. He's having a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't hear from Max, so I'm not sure.
Well, anybody want to volunteer? Or?
Not
it's all pick shortest straws.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Who wants to be chair? That's what I would say first.
I could be chair. I mean, if nobody wants it, since I was vice chair.
I like to
last time.
Nominate Dwayne.
Oh, jump right on that. There you go.
And I'll do a second sitting here.
Okay.
Well, we got to at least have two people.
Well, the vice chair,
I know, but...
Oh, two people to run.
Well, I know, I'm just kind of kidding around. Well, what about the two guys up there, Ray and Mike? Are you guys too busy, or?
I'd be interested in maybe being vice chair. I'd support.
Has it been an interesting year?
Because I know you're on, you know, I don't want to overwhelm you or put you on the spot, because, you know, but, I mean, you're on citizen, or the Oversight Commission.
Oversight Committee.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. You want to be vice chair?
Well, what about you, Ray?
Well, you interviewed for the other one, right?
Yes, but, you know, I don't know.
We won't know until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you happen to meet him today?
And you had yours earlier?
I had, yesterday, I think, or the day before. I don't know.
So
yeah, Kim, it kind of mushes.
So, Kim, just so everybody knows, I mean, I was a chairman of the Safety Commission for a couple of years, and so I know it. I took my position, like, to heart, though, like mm-hmm. I do. I mean, so, like, I probably overkill the time, but it is. Could you maybe explain to, before we make another nomination, like, how much more time is expected from the chair? I mean, versus just being a regular commissioner?
The primary time is toward the end of the review cycle when we're writing the annual report. The chair writes the cover memo, kind of summarizes everything that has happened that year. And then, you know, we co-present the presentation at the joint planning city council meeting. And so that's, you know, I haven't asked Armita, you know, what she, you know, I think it's just, you know, preparing for the meetings like the rest of you do in advance. She and I, you know, didn't have like a lot of conversations outside of the actual meeting, so.
But towards the end, just the level of coordination with staff and preparing the final report.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had talked to Armita about that, and it was more the end, the final report, the cover page, that kind of stuff, and reviewing what you guys had put together.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of extra stuff.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like you're prepared.
I was just interested in what she was doing, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I could suggest maybe we go ahead and take action to make Dwayne chair. We could revisit vice chair after we see who sits on the COC. So it sounds like you guys may be interested in paying on whether or not you're selecting on that one for vice chair. So could we bring that vote back to the next meeting?
It's totally up to you.
So, Dwayne, how's your schedule? I mean, making it to meetings and stuff?
Oh,
I know you missed several meetings this year.
Yeah, I was on vacation.
I mean, I'm not trying
vacation,
to put you on the spot. I just want to make sure.
No, as long as I got them in my calendar, I'm usually good.
Okay.
You know, the wife schedules vacation, and that's, you know, that's a trump card, so.
Well, I'm always for options, so I'll like to maybe if Ray wants to accept it pending nomination, so we at least have two people to discuss or.
For the sake of democracy, sure.
Well, you're in charge about chair, right?
Yeah, for chair. Yeah, that's what we
at
least have.
Chair.
Yeah. You okay with that, Ray? Or I mean, I hate these conversations. I know because y'all don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I mean, are you okay with it? Or?
I'm okay with it. I mean, you know, it's probably a little bit more commitment-wise, but you know, see what happens.
I second that nominee too, because obviously they both do a great job. In my perspective.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I think they're going to both do fine. I mean, just. My concern is just, you know, the time with somebody, and I just always stress that when people take these positions because they could be overwhelming sometimes, depending on the person's workload already, you know, so.
I guess one option is, I know when we selected for COC, we did a write-in ballot. I don't know if there's a preference from the city perspective how we do the vote.
Yeah, we could do a write-in. It's up to you.
And I guess I'd ask if you two are amenable, if there was one selected, could we ask the other to be vice chair? Would you both be amenable to that?
Sure.
It sounds like a good plan.
Would everybody be amenable to that? We'll just have everybody
just
on a piece of paper put your one selection.
Do you want me to give you the paper so that they all look alike?
Wait, we didn't get any speeches from them.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Now you're pushing.
No, it's funny. Several years ago, before Armita, there was actually a situation where The candidates wanted to get speeches, and they did. And interesting.
Wow. Well, I'd certainly open the floor.
You just need one paper, right?
I'll go ahead and say a speech, I guess. Say a few words.
You didn't see the camera here? You can do those, and I'll give these
to you.
I just want to say I'm proud to be a part of the GMOC committee because it's really eye-opening and understanding how the city works, or trying to understand how the city works. And it's just this progression. The more meetings you go to, the more you learn, the more questions you ask. And I find it all fascinating. And I don't know about you guys, but I think this is a fascinating community to be on.
Oh, and you can only vote once.
Wait, how long have you been on GMOC?
What's that?
It'll be 3 years next month.
Okay.
So we just put the name of the person we want for chair, and then the person that gets the most
will
is
be chair,
chair,
and then the
second is the vice chair.
How long have you been on GMOC? About the same amount?
About the same amount.
Yeah, you guys came around the same
time. Yeah, right around the same time.
Because Dwayne and I came on the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know there was a slew.
It's only 3 years.
There's a lot of change over that 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you want
to... May I borrow?
Of course.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I had one in my purse, but I changed my purses.
Did we have staff to tabulate?
Sure. Thank you.
Quick.
How many people do we have here today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, it'll probably be a tie.
No way.
We're missing three, right?
We're missing two because there's one vacancy. Yeah, so there's technically we're missing three.
Okay.
But, oh, that's right.
Okay, so let me make sure I have six of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. You want a tab for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not that there's so many that I have to have a calculator.
I wasn't going to say a word. You could just
we'll leave that one alone.
They're going to tell these houses.
Hold up. How many fingers?
Oh, shoot.
We lost count.
Sorrow.
Do we have any hanging chad or anything?
As I predicted.
No way.
It's a tie.
That rocks.
Is it really? I think that's typically how they do it. Flip a coin or draw
a coin.
All right.
Or do that what?
Do that?
Paper, rock, scissors,
yeah.
Spock.
That's funny.
Okay. So,
if we're minimal, I'm going to pull one name. That person will flip the coin and the other will call it in the air. Are we okay with that?
Sounds great.
All right, let me shuffle these.
Okay.
Democratic process.
Yeah, I love it.
This is the most exciting we've had at the GMOC meeting in a long time.
So they jinxed us everything.
Okay. All right, so you go ahead and pick.
Do we have an official coin?
Who is flipping?
Super Bowl coin.
Ray is flipping.
Okay.
Do you have a coin?
Does anybody
have a coin? Is it
two-sided? And then does he get to choose, or does the...
So Dwayne will choose in the air. While it's in the air, he's going to pick heads or tails. And then if you, whatever you call, if it is what you call, then you'll be chair. Is that good?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Right there? Yeah, right. Does that work?
go ahead.
So call all of us to here.
All right.
So what do you call?
There you go. 1, 2, 3.
Heads.
Did it hit something?
All right, nobody dropped coins.
Heads it is.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah. All right.
Well, here's your coin back.
And I will go ahead and switch.
Raimundo, shoo.
We'll just pass over the agenda.
Oh. Well, you can finish it off. I mean, might as well finish it off while you're there, you know?
All right, we'll go to the staff comments.
Okay. I've updated the schedule. Not any major changes. The room number tonight changed. I corrected something for the the tour. That's going to be, we've got that scheduled for January 19th.
Thank you.
Next year. And other than that, we've confirmed that all the other tentative meetings are on the books. So, this one for you.
Thank you.
And I'll send you an electronic copy also. You have the previous version. But,
thank you.
Remind you want a hard copy? No? Okay.
So when will the three or the new vacancy be filled? By when? Do you have any idea?
I think they were doing interviews, but they only had one candidate, so it's going to be a little while yet. So, I do not have any other comments. Our next meeting will be October 18, a month from now, and we're going to do the engineering topics, drainage, sewer, traffic, and then as you can see on the schedule, we've got police and air quality coming up, and we've got a few meetings before Christmas, and then we'll have a break from the meetings, at least, in the month of January, just the citywide tour. So, Leilani, any comments, or Patricia, any comments?
No,
that's for me. Okay, that's all from staff.
Looking forward to the tour.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can all make it again. I don't know if Tiffany's going to make it. I don't know if you knew that Tiffany is expecting a baby.
No, I didn't want to make it.
Yeah. Our boss is going out on maternity
leave
after next week.
She's
so doing. She'll be back.
Yeah. So I asked her, I said, do you want to be on the tour? I could move it up. She's like, don't worry about me. I'm sure she's going to have more exciting things to do.
Is Amira coming on the tour?
Oh, I haven't asked her. Yeah, I mean, I can invite her. Yeah. She always liked those tours. Yeah, it's open to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting. But, yeah. And then Scott Barker, the new transportation engineer, he's sick tonight. Otherwise, he probably would have been here tonight, too. So
on the vacancy issue, if you have friends, family, associations, mm-hmm. groups that you all belong to who you might know of, persons who are interested in putting some time and energy into bettering the community. There's always lots of positions on our various commissions that people can take a look at, but just by going to our city clerk's website. So I encourage you to reach out to others you know, so that we can get these vacancies filled.
Now, I was at one point being asked to join another commission before I had just signed on to the GMOC, and I was told that I couldn't join more than one commission.
Probably true, yes. Yeah.
What about the Oversight Commission?
I think those are not inclusive because of the composition and requirement. Just like, say, for example, Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. You do have a representative because of the requirement on GMOC that they be a representative.
Yeah,
the representative.
The ordinance actually requires a member of the GMOC to be on the oversight.
Okay.
Any commissioner comments?
Not for me.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.